Hey everybody, welcome to the PDX Beat Podcast, the culture show that keeps a finger on the pulse of all things Portland. I'm your host, Amado Lumba, and I'm just getting over a nasty cold. Yes, again. Just the season, I suppose. Anyway, for this episode, we'll be digging a little more deeply into the many ways Portland keeps itself firmly planted just a little left of center, with my recent chat with one of the folks behind Portland's The Peculiarium. So just sit back, relax, and prepare for things to get weird. As usual, I started things off by asking how the Peculiarium got its name. Offering the answer was the co-creator of this unusual space, Mike Wellens.
We were setting this up. We were set up searching for names, and we found it. And actually, it's a scientific word for a medical thing that they don't really know what it is, but it doesn't really cause any problems. And it also has a French version, from what I understand.
So something benign?
Something benign, like, yeah, it's a growth, but it's not hurting you, and, you know, just something to dismiss. So.
That's interesting. I was thinking that it was a portmanteau of peculiar and museum.
Well, it could be. It is now.
All right, well, I'll trademark that.
Okay, sure, thanks.
According to its website, the Peculiarium's beginnings can be traced all the way back to 1967, courtesy of Portlander Conrad Talmadge Elwood, who, quote, had a dream, but forgot it when he woke up, unquote. The rest of the Peculiarium's history, as noted on the website, seemed very suspicious, so I asked Mike for his take.
The Peculiarium's history is sketchy at best. So you sort of have to take everything here with a grain or two of salt. So we're not admitting anything. We're not denying anything either.
Got it.
Yes.
Physically here in Portland, when did the Peculiarium start?
4 years ago when this place opened up. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense now because I think I did come here for the first time a week after you opened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I moved here about 4 years ago.
Right after tax day, yeah.
Okay, right on.
April 15th.
Right on. Yeah. Why choose Northwest Portland over any other location here in Portland?
It was just opportunity, really. I mean, we actually did look at some other places. We sort of wanted to do something... which we are now getting back to. Our original idea was to do something mobile. But already, even 4 years ago, the food cart thing was overdone already. Like, oh, let's do a mobile museum and show, you know, the kind of stuff, art we like, and we'll do funky food and that stuff. And then we sort of went and we looked at trucks, and I think it was ominous that every truck we looked at, not one of them started. So you go look at a truck and drive out and goes, oh yes, I got a lot of miles, I just did this, can we start it? Sure. I'm like, And we started climbing around in these trucks, and I'm 50, and it's like, you know, in the winter they're going to be freezing, in the summer if we're cooking food they're going to be hot, they don't have a bathroom, and I don't want to be scrambling around trying to use someone's bathroom because I don't have one because we have a truck. So we said, well... And then we thought, you know, that's the food part is a big part of it, but really the biggest part is the art part. So we started looking around, and we looked at some coffee shops up in North Portland and kind of just looked around. And then I used to work around the corner, and this building came empty. And I said, you know, there's a shop right around the corner from where I work. Let's go see. And sure enough, it just vacated. And I went and talked to the owner and said, hey, we'd like to rent it. And so it was just fortuitous that it was here.
Right.
We thought it would be... have a much bigger draw as far as foot traffic, thinking, oh, we're just off 23rd, but it might as well be 5 miles from 23rd. I mean, you'd think going around the corner is nothing, but going around the corner is huge. So we are actually, even though we're a half block away, we're kind of in the boonies of 23rd.
Right, but people still find you.
Yeah. But it would be a dramatically different place if we had a shop on 23rd.
I bet.
But then our conceit is that we are definitely not mainstream. We don't want to be mainstream. There's way too many places that have big screens showing sports and stock tickers and all that stuff. And we get a fair amount of people who come in here who are looking for that, and they look in the door and they turn around and walk out. So we know that the people who like us are a select few, and they are passionate, though. So I think in the end, whether by design or just serendipity, this is a pretty good location for us.
Right. And how have people found you? Primarily via the website? How
Word of mouth or website. A lot of people who sort of like this kind of thing will say, oh, I got to bring somebody here when they come to town, or this would be perfect for Crazy Uncle Robert or whatever. I think there's a big contingency of tourists who come here, and that's all from the web, and that's all driven by travel sites. And travel sites, obviously, they want to be as current, as fresh as possible to be accurate. And originally when we started out, they wanted us to pay to be on their sites. So they would say, hey, you know, a couple hundred dollars, and, you know, we didn't have much money. We're like, eh, we can't do that. And now they have to put us on there because they would be remiss if we weren't. So that's nice. So now we're in just included all websites about Portland or travel books or any of that stuff, because now it's enough of a fixture that if you want to find something weird, it's up there.
Now, who do we have to thank for curating what we do see in here?
Oh my God. So many artists. Lisa Freeman is my partner. She and I run it. I just have to look around. Michael Maker is an artist who has some great stuff in here. These are props from a science fiction movie that a friend made, Steve Miller, who's a very talented editor and was a filmmaker. This is from an artist friend, an art director named Paul Herod, who made that. A lot of props in here. That big whale head was from another friend's film that he made, another prop. We actually do have quite a few movie props, which look great. There's a mobile over there. Obviously, you can't see it, but this is kind of steampunky. That was made by Jennifer Batten, who was Michael Jackson's guitar player for 10 years. I don't remember the big blonde with the crazy spiky hair.
Yeah.
She just came in here with her mom one day and said, well, this place is really great. Can I show you some art? And I said, yeah, sure, send us a link. And then as she left, her mom's all, she's a big rock star. Like, yeah, right. And another friend of ours who knew I know Michael Jackson. I recognize her. I didn't know her name. He's like, no, she's huge. And it turns out she is. And but she's a great artist. And she did a show in here that was the most amazing show we've ever had. She just did this freeform tribute thing with this video interactive thing. And now, in hindsight, I wish somebody had videotaped the whole performance, because, you know, she's an insane guitar player. And to see that here, to see Michael Jackson, the guitar player, play here to like 25 people.
That's crazy.
It was great, yeah. And it's just one of those things, we had no idea. And that was just, you know, she just walked in off the street and she's like, oh, I hang my art here and stuff. So that's a good example of, you know, some of the people that we have here. Obviously, one of our biggest artists, although I'm not seeing anything, is Colin Batty, who's a longtime friend from Manchester, England. And he's also worked in the movie business. He worked on Mars Attacks and Corpse Bride. And he sculpted all the characters for the Eddie Murphy show, The PJs. And he also was an amazing sculptor. He did all the monster kits for, like, the original Alien kit.
Oh, wow.
Halcyon models and the Queen Alien. I mean, he's just an incredible sculptor. He's probably our most prolific artist. And we've sold tons of his art. He does all those crazy cabinet card paintings that you might have seen.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably our, like, most amazing. I mean, they're all amazing in their own right. But as far as prolific and what people really dig, he is really popular.
Now, would you say that this that the Peculiarium is family friendly?
Yes and no. Again, it depends on the family.
You know, I have seen kids here.
Yeah, and there are some kids will come in here who are 4 or 5 years old who are just like loving it. It's like, ah, it's so great. And then there are 10-year-olds who can't come in the door, and then they cry. I mean, they're so scared. You know, it's really hard to gauge.
Sure.
And we've certainly had parents who come in and they're obviously oversensitive helicopter parents who take one look and then they just whoop, turn around and go right out, and not even, you know, like, the kids seem mildly amused. So it's a full spectrum of older kids are like, wow, that kid's having a problem, I can't come in here. the which we're going to try to get away from, the one thing that is sort of a downbeat that we really don't care for is the people who are trying to like scare their kids, like to like get them over it.
And so we would take them here.
Yeah, so they bring the kid in. The kid is freaked out, crying already. And
oh my goodness.
The dad's like, no, 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 come here. You got to see it. No, no, no. I mean, literally dragging them. And it's like, they don't want to do it. It's, you know, and it's like, you're just traumatizing them. That is not, I mean, I don't want to get into parenting anybody, but that puts us in a weird position. It's like, look, you're scaring the crap out of
right.
your kid. Your kid clearly doesn't want to be here. Don't force them. They do. But it doesn't happen that often, but it happens a fair amount.
And on the flip side, if the kid does get over his or her fear, then and they credit you, that's only a good thing.
Right, right, yeah. But, you know, you're starting kind of way down the list when you have. And this one kid came in, but the funniest ones are when they want to be in here, but they're scared. So they're right on the line where they love all this stuff, but they're just freaked out. And this kid was in here, and he was probably like, I don't know, 8 or 9, and he's had tears in his eyes, but he really, really wanted to explore. And he's all, please promise me that nothing's going to jump out at me. I'm all, nothing's going to jump, really, really? I'm all, nothing is going to jump out at you. I promise. Okay, okay. I'm like, did you see that scary? Oh, okay, I'll go look.
That is awesome.
And I mean, he was just, you know, like 6 months, he'd probably have no problem. 6 months ago, no way. So that's pretty funny.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's about turning lives around.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm curious, what's the most non-positive review that you've gotten for the place?
Oh, there's, well, you know, you have to take any review from the internet with a grain of salt, because a lot of people who just spend a lot of time reviewing on the internet just want to be people who want to be an authority and really have no basis. No, there were some Yelp reviews that were, like one woman from LA was like, it's free, and it should be, and there's way better stuff in LA, da 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 da. And it wasn't even like a critique, it's just like she didn't like anything, you know, just a generally unsatisfied person. But then you looked, she had like 2,000 reviews. And so all she does is criticize things. sure, we have people who are like, I don't get it. That wasn't funny to me. But absolutely just it means nothing to us, because on the flip side, we have people who are just crazy for it, way crazier than we are even. People who are fanatical. I mean, people give us free money. And I would have thought it was pretty crass and tacky to put out a donation box, especially at a retail. It's just like, are you kidding me? But we had to put one out because so many people were like, where can we donate? Where can we donate? And I'm like, okay. So we put a jokingly labeled donation box, and, you know, it steadily makes money when we're open. People want to give you free money.
Museums do it.
Sure. And that is a testament to how much people like it.
Right.
So for every naysayer or person like, hey, I don't get it, like, eh, you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a tongue-in-cheek, and there's definitely a level of intellect that you could cruise through here and not get any of the jokes. You know, if you don't like pay attention and go, oh, I see, they're messing with me. And that's sort of our whole thing is we're off center of everything. We're not going to treat anything standard.
I think that is kind of the approach that one has to have before stepping into here. The first time I visited was definitely because I heard about it. It was definitely word of mouth. But prior to that, I'd seen that it was going to be something that would open, so I made a note to, oh, I think I'm going to try to visit that place. I definitely had no preconceived notions as to what I would find, but you're right, in terms of, I think there's a nuance that people just have to tap into in order to really appreciate what you offer here.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and that isn't an accident. You know, we definitely like that snarky, kind of definite, caustic attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's real or we're just doing an act doesn't really matter. And some people are put off by it, you know, they're like, oh, I don't, but some people really, really enjoy, you know, having to read things a couple of times to go, because there's, I think, especially with the internet these days, there's far too much of people just accepting things for like, whoa, that's a nice font and it looks nice and there's a graphic, it must be true. You know, so many things on the web, so many conspiracies and people freaking out because they saw some story and then someone else has to come in. No, that was all fake. You know, even like the Onion stories that wind up being news stories, you know, because somebody picked it up and ran with it. So there's definitely a lot of goodies to be mined from that too. Like, you have to pay attention here. And people come through and believe it too. I mean, really.
Right on.
Yeah, they'll look at everything and go, oh, they, or they'll, people will come in and they'll look at the Bigfoot and with a complete straight face, they'll say, yep, I had a talk with that guy up at Trillium Lake for about 45 minutes. I mean, a lot. I'd say one or two a week, people who come in here and claim to have seen Bigfoot, met Bigfoot, talked Bigfoot.
Well, it takes all kinds, right?
Yeah, sure. And hey, we're not going to say no.
Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thepdxbeat. Find us on Twitter as @thepdxbeat. Email us at thepdxbeat@gmail.com. And check out our website at www.thepdxbeat.com. I told Mike that I like the mystique that sort of surrounds the Peculiarium in that it may not necessarily be on the top of Portlanders' minds at all times, but if pressed for a recommendation for an activity that's a little bit on the strange side, they would likely think of this little Northwest Portland gem.
But do you want to be sort of mainstream?
Well, it wouldn't hurt to have more customers. You know, there's just so much going on, especially in Portland. I mean, let's face it, right now, Portland is the most popular city in the United States.
It's crazy.
Bar none.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff going on. There's something going on every weekend. Early on, you know, we tried television commercials, nothing. We tried, like, advertising in newspapers, nothing. I mean, really had no blip. If there was any uptick, it was not noticeable by us. And those were early on. And I think it's just one of those things, you're just competing so much for people's attention. It seems like we're doing a lot of street fairs. So we'll be actually at the Belmont Street Fair next weekend. And then we'll be at Rose City Comic Con.
You were at Hawthorne Street Fair.
Yes, we're at the Hawthorne Street Fair. We kind of do all of them, not all of them. And that seems to have way more exposure for us. Because then the people that like this kind of thing can sort of see a little sample of it. Again, the people who are scared of bugs or whatever, they're not coming in here. People who are grossed out easy are not coming in here. So there's a lot of people who are like, it's just not for them. And I think maybe the street festivals and that sort of thing is a good way for us to contact Portlanders. But beyond Portlanders, which is great, is our website and our art. You know, that is sort of, and that's another thing that we sort of never planned on, is the Peculiarium becoming a brand that is bigger than Portland. And it is already. I mean, it's sort of, we're selling stuff. Colin sold a couple of his cabinet cards to the Saatchi Gallery in London.
Nice.
You know, considered one of the best galleries in the world. We're selling stuff all over the world. So a lot of people who can't come here are able to sort of see what's going on and follow us on, obviously, all the, social media. And we get messages all the time like, oh, why aren't you in my town? Da, 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 da. You know, so it's great for people like, oh, I'm going to get there someday. But you can still sort of get a flavor of us on the web, which is great.
Right on.
Great. And that's one of those things, like we're closed now, but people are still able to see what's going on, keep up with our street fairs, keep up with the new art. We just had a new comic book come out, issue number 4 of our Freaky But True comic book. So all that stuff is still alive and well. And really, it's with the internet, there's just a fraction of the people that are available are ever going to come here. You know, so
right.
If it turned out to be huge for Portland, that doesn't really mean anything for any other locations.
Right.
Could we ever do a location someplace else? Of course, we'd love to. It would have to. And maybe that's the ticket, is to do more of them.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about the connection between the Peculiarium and FreakyButTrue.com.
Oh, okay. Well, Freaky But True actually was a zine that I started with some friends in college, when I first started college, and it was sort of the same kind of thing, tongue-in-cheek, little articles that we would just photocopy and just give around, you know, give to friends a little monster stories, and just, but they always had that same kind of weird bend to them. And then we started making films. So we made I made a zombie feature in the 90s, made lots of horror movies, started doing animation, and that sort of became the moniker for doing that kind of weird stuff. And in the meantime, we were doing comic books and books and self-publishing. And then, so when we okay, we're going to actually do a physical shop, it became the logical growth of what had started as a zine is like, actually, it's in a real building now and it's got its own shop.
What has been the biggest surprise to people when they come here? Like, as I was telling you before, I had no preconceived notions before I got here. But what has been, like, the feedback says, wow, that was not what I expected because...
It's kind of a tough one. I think probably it's a personal thing. I think when we first started, we thought it was going to be very big with hipsters, you know, like the 20s, the 30 age, when in fact they're not even on our radar. The people who really seem to really love it are older people who have a nostalgia connection to 70s horror movies and sort of have a connection to this older stuff. On the flip side, and then further down, are kids who've never seen it before. Not like little kids, but young teenagers and stuff like that. And then families, because they're on vacations. They want to do the kind of Wally World kind of thing. So hipsters or that kind of, 20 to 25 age is actually really low as far as, because they don't really have any connection, not, you know, too young for really old movies, don't have families, so they're sort of the, and I don't know why we thought that would be our main thing.
Because of Portland.
Right, yeah. But you know, we don't sell beer, so it's like right there. Half of them not coming in if they can't be holding a beer all the time.
Could that happen in the future?
We actually did. We actually had a liquor license when we first started, and it just wasn't for all the hassles of the OLCC, and we had to move stuff around, and then for the cost, it was not worth it.
I see.
So we stopped.
Right.
I mean, I think for the whole year, we sold about $480 worth of beer, and our license cost $500.
Wow.
Plus, we had personally had it, and we had to move stuff around, you had to see, I mean, it's obviously, it's ridiculously prude, the Oregon, whatever it is, liquor
commission. OLCC.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, just like somebody's parents, you know, it's crazy, get the poor thing, totally wasn't worth it.
Tell me a little bit about the Insectarian
Club. That is our Bug Sunday. So we just have a variety of bug edible things that have real bugs. So we have a sundae, which you can get whatever kind of ice cream you want. And then we put freeze dried real mealworms on them.
Wow.
Yes.
And I know that there's a kind of like a wall of fame.
Yes, we take your picture and put it on our website and put it on the wall. People have done it. Over a few hundred people have done it now, which is crazy.
What's his name? The man versus food guy? Has he ever come?
Yeah, they came and filmed here, and then they wound up editing it down. They just used us in the bumpers. So we've had a bunch of people filming here, but we got most of it was on the editing room floor.
Oh boy! Sometimes it ends up that way.
Yeah, that's it.
Obviously, right now we are in the middle of the Peculiarium, and it's closed right now because it's for renovations.
Right.
What can you tell me about what people will see?
Well, the building is getting some much needed. This is buildings from 1922, and we're looking at big holes in the ceiling as we talk. So they're doing a big plumbing thing. We've been fighting the plumbing since we moved in, and that's the downside of having a cool old funky space. It's old and funky, and it's falling apart. We're taking the opportunity to sort of rejigger what we do, focus on the stuff that has really, really risen to the top. We're going to focus on that. Things that just proved not that popular, we're going to get rid of that stuff. When we were starting this, we had a lot of people like, well, what's your business plan? It's like, well, you can't really have a business plan for something that's completely unknown. You know, it's its own thing. So now, after 4 years, we can see, okay, this is the part we like. Here's the part that's not worth the effort. This is the stuff people are crazy for. This stuff kind of mediocre. So with all that in mind, we're going to rejigger it to make it more of what we think people really like about the Peculiarium, which is the art, the attitude, the stories, the overall feeling of peculiarness.
I appreciate that because, sure. You know, as you look around and, you know, it seems just like a mishmash of things, but there's... definitely does seem to be an underlying strategy as to where things are placed and displayed.
There is, yeah. And we're going to definitely fine-tune that. And we've had some incredible artists help us. There's over 40 different artists in here. And a lot of it's like after 4 years, you really get to know, okay, people are crazy for this, they didn't even notice. So again, it's just fine tuning and then also making it more what we want it to be too, now that we know. And we didn't, you know, I was like, let's throw this all in here. And then it's like, well, what is the vision? What is, you know, what if, you know, if you could throw $1 million at it, what would you do to it? And then that sort of really tells you what you want out of it.
And so now I understand that you're going to reopen on Halloween or something to that effect?
Near about there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As close as we can. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. There's a lot of things out of our control, like the plumbing. We have no control over how fast that
happens. Oh, that's very true.
Stuff, so.
Very true. Well, hopefully you reopen for Halloween.
Hopefully.
That'd be epic.
Yeah. You know, crazier things have happened, and it could pass that, you know, we don't. But that's our goal.
Last question. Is this place haunted?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes, it is. And I say that without any spookiness of any kind. Crazy stuff has happened in here so much that it's not even it's not scary in the slightest. It's annoying. things turn around, lights go off and on, you leave something, you come back, it's turned around, doors open. Yeah, stuff happens all the time.
Wow.
To the point where it's like, you go in the bathroom, close the door, turn the light, go in the bathroom, light goes out.
What?
So you got to get out your phone, finish up, go check the fuse box. Fuse box is fine. Come back, light's back on. Happens all the time. Things turn around. Things are faced a different way. The strangest one, we have video surveillance. The strangest one, I was actually out of town, and it was closed, and I got a call from the sheriff. We have an alarm system, too. Got a call, and I was down in California, and get a call at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, scares the hell out of me. I call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, hey, this is the sheriff, got a motion alarm. Da, 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 da. I was like, yeah, there shouldn't be anybody in there. So they drove around and said, yeah, it looks all blocked up. Something moved around inside, and the doors are secure. I was like, okay, fine. So I come back from California, going back a couple days, come back, and I had the number on my phone from when the guy called. I was like, all right, well, I could back time it. So, you know, it took the alarm company. They tried my house. I wasn't there. It took them a couple minutes. They finally got a hold of me. I said, call. So I was like, okay, I can back time it about 10 minutes before it happened. So I start running the hard drive back with all the cameras. And I can't see anything until I get to about where that time would have been. And one of the cameras in there goes black. Nothing on it. I mean, like it was unplugged. Now, there's nobody in here.
Right.
Nothing on any of the other cameras. And then it comes back on after like 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, this was a brand new security system. There was nothing. I had never done that before, never did it again. So for whatever reason, and it wasn't like, you know, somebody walked in front of the camera just lost its signal, right, inexplicably for about 5 minutes at the time that the alarm went off.
Wow.
Came back in here, there was no problem, nothing was missing. Occasionally the pings will come off the wall, be on the floor, things will break.
Well, whatever it is, and if they exist, they probably feel right at home.
Yeah. Or, well, we're thinking, too, that the old lady who used to live here, she lived upstairs. From what we hear from the neighbor, she was quite a tyrant.
Oh, wow.
She would hate this place.
Oh, wow.
She would hate it. Yeah, I mean, there's rumors that she used to tell the neighbors to, like, pick only one or two flower colors. Too many flowers. And she'd go, too many colors.
Oh, my
goodness.
They could
have one or two. So she would loathe.
Do you know the name?
I do. I'm not going to say because her family's still alive.
That is,
but wow. Yes. So she would loathe. From what we've heard, this would be her anti-place. So I think she's just displeased with what we've done to it. But there's a lot of fun in here. We have a ton of fun.
Well, hopefully she has fun too.
Yeah, maybe. I think if she is, she should move on because it's just going to get weirder.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you speaking
with me.
Quite
welcome. Quite welcome. Thank you.
The Peculiarium is located at 2234 Northwest Thurman Street. Admission is free, but donations are most certainly welcomed. As already stated, they are currently undergoing renovations, so be on the lookout for their reopening at or around Halloween. Keep tabs on them on Facebook and via their website at www.peculiarium.com. Also, to see more of Mike Wellens' art, check out his show at the Arbor Lodge Coffee and Community House, located at Rosa Parks and Interstate, where his works will be up all month. And that's our show this week, folks. Our theme music is called Cataracts by local musician Sweet Nothing. Subscribe to this little podcast that could on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, or wherever you download quality podcasts. This has been a presentation of the PDX Beat. I'm Amado Lumba. Thanks for tuning in.